Be a reminder where we're holding.
That
we were talking yesterday about the. So we're talking yesterday about the eating of mekicha on another affair, that you take an object via another object. Is that considered taking in halacha? Are you allowed to hold your lulav wrapped in a sudar, a handkerchief? So Rava, who thinks it's fine, brought a proof for a fact that you're allowed to, in the end of the day, the final proof is the fact you're allowed to take the ashes for part of aduma in like a test tube thing and sprinkle it onto the water. Even though you're not pinching it with your actual fingers in hand, it's using a tube, it's still considered lakitha. The lakach menasan, you've accomplished, even though you're holding with a tube. So see from here, you are allowed to do lakitha a day, dar after. Which Rashi?
It was about the second tube.
Put the water in the tube, yeah. and then the water goes onto the ashes, or
no, the second case. So here, let's read it. Ariel wants to see it inside. So let's see, the last Rashi, Lama Zayin Aben Aleph. So, Nofal Mishoferes, Lamas Ibn Alpha, very last Rashi. So, Nofal Mishoferes the Shokas, let's say the ash falls out of the tube of ash, your ash shaker, into the water, which is held in the Kli, Shokas, like the water holder. So, Afar, even the ashes, not just the water, like we described in the previous case, Hayyavivian Mishoferes, they would bring it in a tube. And they would use it to make the water kodesh for the para aduma purposes. Beshoka shel eved, in a water container of stone. Shekomais para bekli avadim. All the processes of a para aduma were done with stone. Paisa, they were. They used stone kalim for all the water carrying and I guess that's it. They used stone for the water. They didn't use water, ferris, or earthenware, or whatever. I'm not sure if it was possible. By a dose in a fair mishum ferris line, they would take ash in this tube and put it in the water. Lamayim shim shokas, the water in the kui. Sheha offer no say lamala. The ash you would put on top of the water. Kid the alfina mesota, as we learn now, mesaka sota, the pasuk says, mayim chayim el keli. So you put this live water, literally, into a vessel, meaning shehamayim nosin tefila elakli. That first you put the water. It says mayim chayim elakli. This mayim chayim you put into a keli, so the water goes into the kli. But lo yafsik efer bein. There should not be any ash in between the kli and the water. Meaning don't put the ash in first. There's another pasuk that says that you've been asana lav mayim. Sounds like you put the water on the ashes. That pasuk we have to reconcile mokmina. We established that what it means is la arvan, that you're supposed to, after you put the ash, you're supposed to mix it around, not let it just sit and settle on top of the water. Vim kishaba lekadesh, when you come to sanctify the water with the ash, instead of you sprinkling it, rather nafal ha'ein from Yishofaris, the shokas, the ash fell out of the Yishofaris into the water, shalom miskami, not intentionally, pasal ha'kidosh, it would be no good. Dibainon, without intention. It would be pasal. Dibainon v'lakahu, they have to take me'afar seifas ha'katas, the ashes of the paraduma, v'nosan, and then you put it in the water. She'en lokeach bi'adu v'nosan, take it with your hand. The Gemara says, nonetheless, if you actively, intentionally do salt shaker style with the ash holder, your yotze, so you see that lakach is accomplished by Dover Acher. Because we need, that's a quote, yeah. V'lakumi asar perchatzvah, v'nasan, da da da. If you take the water, see, it has to be lakach v'yado. So it fell, it's no good. If you sprinkle it, it's okay. But so now, says the Gemara on Lama Zion of a Bez, new quasi new topic, not entirely new, but new sentence here. So the third line down, where this on the topic of chatzitza and interruption things between other things and things and other things. Rabbi Rava, lo loduts idish lulva behoshana. A person should not loduts shove idish a person. The lulav into the hoshana, into the bundle. So doing that literally,
it would be hoshana rabba, or
here it means the lulav bundle. Throughout this parak, Koshan means the bundle of the Hadassah, Merabos, and the Lulav, even though we don't colloquially use that phrase, but that's what it means in the Gemara. So to literally translate it would be, Omer Rabba, not smash should a man his Lulav into the Hoshana. But in regular speak, it would be a person should not smash his lulav into the Hoshana.
Sound very like heist-like.
What?
Sound very heist-like.
Yeah. They're coming from.
Gears of the
heist. Yeah.
Don't smash someone into the lulav.
he's sorry. Yeah. That also one should not do. That's true. But one should not.
I didn't.
What? Probably. But if it shouldn't, you shouldn't take the lulav. Like if you have your guys in glass. Favorite word. If you have this, the thing you put the you hold the hadassim or rubs. If you shouldn't take your lulav and like jam it in, that's into the holder. Why? The dilma. Why? Because perhaps nasri tarfe, their fall off will the leaves. The nasri is like no share, suff and shin are interchanged. They're making Hebrew. The leaves, the tarfe, the leaves will fall off because they're going to get ripped off when you stick it in. And then there's going to be interruption between the Hadassah Maravos and Lulav. What's going to be interrupting? On its detached Lulav leaves. You're going to have a Lulav in the middle, some detached leaves next to it that fell off when you jammed it in there, and then Hadassah Maravos, but it won't all be touching each other. So that's the Rava says to worry. That was Rava has something to worry about. The Rava Amar comes Rava again. It tells you, don't worry about that. Min mimino eino potetz. Literally, species with its species is not a chatzitza. That if the same species on one side, if the interrupting object is the same species as one of the objects we're trying to connect to another object, it's okay. So if you have lulav and hadas with a piece of lulav in between, lulav cannot block lulav from connecting to hadas.
It works all the way around. Like, usually if you hadas leaves that are usually
called. Yeah, so that we're gonna get to that, but. I believe. But same thing. Usually people shove the Arava, so the Hadassim, into the Kosekloch thing, and if you do it carefully, the leaves will fall off. Not so much for the Chatzitza, but to make sure it has leaves on it. It's still kosher. Yeah. Just like squeeze the thing down, like Chinese finger trap style, is basically what it is. Then you can put it in, like it's a little wider, put them in. Okay, but Arava, Arava rather, similarly, concerned again about Chatzitza. So here we're talking about a guy wants to trim his lulav. It's too tall. He wants to like cut off the bottom or something, which you could do, technically speaking. It's not going to ruin it if you cut off the bottom. It'll just be a shorter lulav. It's okay. Cut off the top. It's going to be a nikatam rosho. Cut off the bottom. It'll just be shorter. So it says, lo viguz inish. A person should not trim lulava bihoshana while it's in the hoshana bundle. Same problem, because when you cut the, do a little demonstration over here. Maybe I'll do a little drawing. But if you, here's your lulav. So you have all your leaves. I'll show it in a second. I'll hold it up. So you have your lulav. It's a lulav. This is a lulav. With all the leaves. So if you cut it over there on the bottom. So now, all of the outer leaves that are over here are going to be still, you're still going to have them bundled together with everything. You have your Hadassah and Aravos. They're still going to be there, but they're going to be detached. Whereas, I really shouldn't, let me draw it differently. I should draw it differently. Let's say this is a lulav, like the leaves, it's grossly exaggerated, but the leaves grow out of the bottom like this. So if you cut it over here, let's say, so these four leaves will no longer be attached at the bottom because you cut off the bottom, whereas these are going to be still full at the bottom. So these 1-2 and 1-2 will be blocking the Hadassah and Aravos that are on the side from touching the inner leaves, which are actually still attached fully at the bottom. Is my drawing totally unclear? It's okay. Why they have payas? It's a very frivolous. The outermost leaves come from the bottom. The ones that are inner come from a little bit higher up. The ones that are inner come from a little higher up. So when you cut at the bottom, the outermost ones will get cut off, but the innermost won't. Is my description clear? So he's saying don't cut it off while it's already in the Hoshana bundle, because then you're not going to notice that those leaves that are still stuck together tightly, some of them aren't actually attached to the lulav anymore, and you're going to have a problem. Rather, cut it off before. Again, the sentence, Amar Rabba, lo li gazinish lulav v'hoshana. Don't cut it off while it's in the hoshana. Why? Did the shtairi hutza, because you're going to have leftover hutza leaves, lulav leaves, v'havi chatzitza, and it's going to be a chatzitza between the hadas and Rabba and the lulav. And again, it comes Rava, saves the day. Rava Amar, Beirubino, Eirachon says. Again, you're going to have lulav blocking lulav contact. Lulav cannot block lulav.
Hutza is lulav leaves?
Yeah.
Specifically leaves for lulav?
I think so. Okay, so now the next thing, just to buy Hakdama, there's a concept we know in Shabbos of Mukta, there's certain objects that are designated for non-Shabbos use, you're not supposed to move. There's also a concept something called huktza l'mitzvaso. That's something designated for a mitzvah purpose. You're not supposed to use it for anything else. That can even be a chol hamoed. Like even an esrog, that's your sukkahs esrog, you're not supposed to, and then all of a sudden, use it for jelly on sukkahs. The decorations in your sukkah, the staff, you're not supposed to, on sukkahs, take and use for something else. I need a toothpick, let me break it off the staff. It's designated for the mitzvah. So, that's hakdama. Vamir rava, hadas shel mitzvah. If you have a hadas, you're using it as your hadas for your dalvinim. Also, the hariyachbo, you're not allowed to smell it because this is not incense. Yes,
wait,
it's
the esrog, right?
Here hadas. Hadas says not, you're not allowed to smell.
You cannot smell because
I stole my esrog.
Wait. The reason why you can't smell it is because it's not incense.
It's booked to the mitzvah. It's designated for the mitzvah.
You can't make a rap.
You shouldn't be smelling it. So you're not supposed to get...
Not only on Yantav,
so the whole sukkah. Why is it a machloket then about esrogs?
Hold on. So the hadas shouldn't smell it. Esrog shel mitzvah butel hariyachbo. But he says the esrog you're allowed to smell. By time, but why?
Oh, it's funny.
Hadas delarecha koi. Hadas is actually designated as a smelling object because it's not a food, it's just a nice smelling leaf. Ki akte, when you designated it for mitzvah use and separated it from regular use, meirecha akte, you separated it regarding smelling. The category it naturally finds itself in is the category from which it was naturally separated when you decided, I'm no longer making this a whole object, I'm making it a holy object. You did that within its natural categorization as a smelling object. Esrog, the la achila kai, whereas an esrog, which is a food object, it stands for eating, literally. Ki akte, when you said I'm not using it as a regular thing, meiktid beachila akte. The thing that you were saying I'm not doing with it anymore is the thing you would have been doing, which is eating. So it depends. What was the status quo? An object which I was ordinarily gonna smell. The chiddush of now it's mitzvah is I'm not gonna smell it, I'm gonna mitzvah it.
I mean, you can do anything else to it though besides smell once
right.
It's for the mitzvah.
Right. And in esrog, anything since I was gonna eat it, and I said, no, I will not eat you. Rather I'll use you as a mitzvah, but that's what I that's what I took myself away from. But hadas you can eat, the esrog you can smell. The esrog you can't eat, the hadas you can't smell. You could smell the esrog and eat the hadas. If you want to eat the hadas, sorry. Yeah.
Wait, why is it permitted? Exactly, why is the esrog?
Because when a person says, this object is no longer normal, it's a mitzvah object, he's saying in relation to what it was, status quo. This was on the vegetable fruit shelf, rather, in the supermarket, as a fruit.
Oh, no,
I'm taking it off the fruit shelf and making it mitzvah. But you could smell. I didn't take it off the smelling shelf because it wasn't on the smelling shelf. A hadas I took out of the flower stand and made it a hadas. But I didn't take it off the food shelf because it was never on the food shelf. So I didn't undesignate it as a food. And the esrog, I didn't undesignate it as a smell because it never was a smelling object. The Amar Rabba, another Rabba statement. This one, that one, Rabba did not reject. Hadas, I think so.
And then like,
you can't only use the stock for whatever the main purpose of the stock is, but you can use it for anything else. Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah,
I'm
saying.
Yeah, you're saying, maybe I could use it as baseball bat because it was never a baseball bat before. I don't know. So, Rabba, this, by the way, this coming up statement is talking about Shabbos, not Sukkot, sort of regular Shabbos all year long. Baba Rabba, Hadas Bimachuber, a Hadas that is attached to the ground still. Mutter Lahariyachba, you're allowed to smell it. not sukkahs. Esrog v'mechuber, but an esrog that's attached to a tree, also the haryakwa, you're not allowed to smell it on Shabbos. My time up.
Wait, an esrog? That's detached or attached?
Attached on Shabbos, not when I'm talking about sukkahs.
Okay, sorry.
My time up. Hadas to the. Well, no, it's not sukkahs.
No, you said it's Shabbos on Sukkot.
I know, but if it was detached, it wouldn't be.
You're saying that would also be Moksa.
No, hold on. It's right now it's attached to the tree. So Hadas, you can't smell. You can smell. And attached Esrog, you can't smell. My time up. Hadas to the Hareach Koi. A Hadas, which, as we mentioned before, status quo, natural state is it's a smelling, fragrant flower or whatever. Isharisle, if you let him smell it, lo asi lemigze, he will not come to cut it off the tree and cut it out of the ground because there's no advantage of having a detached or unattached. You're just in the mood to smell, stop and smell the roses, so you can stop and smell the hadas while it's attached to the ground. It's not, beautiful. Let me go atzi to summon. Okay, man, bracha, smell it, go weiter. There's nothing. But you're happy smelling it as it is. Whereas esrog de la achilakai, an esrog which is attached, which is rather for the purpose of eating, isharisle, if you let him smell it, also the things is you come to cut it off, because nobody is satisfied smelling an esrog. Everybody wants to just bite into that juicy citrus esrog. You can get through the skin. Yeah, you can get through the skin, but the guy will potentially cut it off. Or alternatively, Rashi points out, he might not cut it off, but he might just eat it on the tree. So I'm not doing Tolish, I'm not Kotzer, I'm not doing anything wrong on Shabbos, I'm eating it right here. Because Kolshiket, that's Kotzer. You don't have to pull it off to be violating Kotzer. You could chew it off the tree, that's also Kotzer if you eat it while it's on the tree. Yeah, Rashi points that out. I don't know. Maybe there is. I don't know. If it is, you should smell Hadassim instead, because apparently that's okay.
That was going to be my question.
Yeah, they pass it around by Havdalah, everything. Vamir Rabba, Lulav Biyamin. Oh, this is everyone wants to know this. Lulav in the right hand, the Esrog Bismol, and the Esrog in the left hand. My time up. Hani Tlasa, these are three mitzvos. Lulav Hadassim and Rabbos. Mitzvah, Tlasa mitzvos, three mitzvos. The high Chana mitzvah, and the Esrog in the left hand because it's one mitzvah. Yeah. Amr Leir Virbiya Lirib Zrika. So Virbiya asked from Zrika Shaila, my time, but I'm talking about that last thing, a lefty. I looked up this year because my son is a lefty, and I believe there's two opinions of Shulchan Aruch. One says you flip, one says you do it the regular way. I think the Shabur said do it the regular way. I don't remember. You have to look up over there. Okay, I forgot. But I think it's my focus about whether he switches or not.
So many people have their own shot of like why it's in the left hand.
Oh, Posh Pshat, the Gemara says, because you do the strong hand goes with the most mitzvahs.
The heart in the left hand.
Yeah. And then the lefty would never switch then. Yeah, I don't know. So, where I go here, Amar Rav Yirmiyahu Zrika, my tam lo bevarchinon ela al tilas lulav. Why do we only make the bracha al tilas lulav? Why don't we say asher kesham shasano al tilas lulav esrog hadas maros? So answers the Gemara, or I guess answers Rav Zrika, hoil v'gavoa mikulan, because it's the highest when you have them all next to each other. The highest one is lulav. I guess it's more noticed. There's more chashim, something like that. Ask the Gemara, v'lig bei la'esog, so just v'livarech, but okay, so they just go like this. Hold the esog over here, and say, k'shir k'sham v'sosan al tzidas esog. Like, it's only the highest, because you're holding it that way. That's not inherent, like, you can make it, right now he's saying it's the way you're holding it. Like, you hold the lulav higher, so he says, just hold the esog higher. So don't hold the esrog higher. Alright, well, Gemara says, Amalei, he says, no, I mean, Hoel of Amino Gabo Mikula. He says, since the species is the tallest, he says, I don't mean it's the highest, I mean it's the tall. I know, it's a. In a sense, we're saying that the lulav is the tallest object. No, the lulav itself. Yeah. So he says the lulav itself is the tallest of them.
The lulav, you mean like the three, or just that one?
Just that one. That the one piece. He's asking, why we make all these lulav? So first he said, because it's the highest. So he's asking, not necessarily, when I walk up from shul, I'm holding my lulav bag down here, and my esrog over here. So he says, no, it's not what I mean. He says, I mean, it's the tallest of the species.
I don't understand the initial thought.
No, I mean, inherently it is. Like, you should be wondering, like, what was that Havamina? Yeah, I am not going to tell you not to delve into that, what was the Havamina. Right now, I'm going to fly past it, but I'm not, in general, it is Kedai to ask what was the Havamina, because you sometimes find out either A, how to learn, like, what's a good Gemara question, you know, like, obviously there was something that bothered them, whatever.
I mean, that's, like, usually a Tosafos type of question.
Yeah.
Oh, why didn't he say that? He could have said this.
Yeah, or you find out, like, sometimes you'll find out the Havamina is only half rejected. They thought ABC, and it turns out even the Maskana actually keeps the A and the B, and only rejects the C. So, you know, it is Kedai to delve into the Havaminas. But okay, fine. So says the next Mishnah. This is an interesting time here about Hallel. There's more about this in a few blot. Next, in Lama Kasma Bay, there's more of this, but this is the first section here. Veheichan hayu minanid. Where would they shake the lulav in Hallel? What points of the Hallel would they shake the lulav? Says the Mishnah, behodu l'Hashem tchila v'sof. That, if you notice, the last, like, half of Hallel, I'll flip to the center right now, like, there's a very long section, end of Hallel, basically, like, where most people do all the singing.
Can't do any singing here.
Gad Avid Gluck.
What?
Gad Avid Gluck.
Gluck is
the under singing.
Actually,
do.
720?
No, here, 745. 730 Rosh Chodesh.
Yeah. 7:30 minute.
Yeah, 7:30 minute here. Sing Hallel. Yeah. Wait, 7:45 usually. Pesach?
Post Pesach.
Oh, post Pesach. You want Rosh Chodesh and stuff?
Rosh Chodesh.
Yeah. That's a bummer. I don't know.
You're talking about
sick. What? No, I'm saying usually Rosh Chodesh. This the Glock meeting was 7:45, but on Rosh Chodesh, whatever, 7:30. They usually have a good time singing. I haven't been here in a few years for those days, but it's, yeah, but anyway, fine. So, and if not, you should get up there and sing. Yeah. But,
I'm not going to sing.
No, okay, whatever. They should be singing. But, I've been here for years, they sang everything. It was like the only meeting that sang. It was like they would go like till 9 o'clock.
It was the only one that does it.
Anyway, but the last parak of, the last, like, half of Hallel, from Hallelu as Hashem and on, sorry, right after Hallelu. Hallelu is a two-pasuk parak. Hodu Hashem Kitov, Yomer Yisrael, Yomer Yomer Yisrael, Aron, Min HaMetzar, Ana Hashem, Baruch Haba, Yehada, all one parak of Tehillim. So it says, Behodu Hashem, Tchila V'Sof, meaning if it starts off, Hodu Hashem Kitov, Kilu Chasto, Yomer Yisrael, Kilu Chasto, da 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 da, you know, Piskoli, Odecha, Ana Hashem, Ana Slichana, Baruch Haba, and then it finally ends off, again, at the very end of the parak, and right before they see Aluch Hashem Kedem Komasecha, Chasidachim Merkuch, etc. So the last pasuk is Hodu. So Hodu Hashem Tchila V'Sof, you shake the lulav, which we taka do. Uva Ana Hashem Moshiyana, and when we get to Ana Hashem Moshiyana, Divrei Beis Hillel, which we do also. We don't shake by Ana Hashem Atzlichana. Veshamei Omrin Af by Ana Hashem Atzlichana. They say you shake by Ana Hashem Atzlichana also. We don't shake by Atzlichana, only by Ana. Ana Hashem Hoshiyana. But everybody does it also, after. But even the Chazan doesn't do Atzlichana.
Oh, wow, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Okay, we'll pause. What's this? Let's show next week. Mm-hmm.